You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, what's up? What is the word, family? Shady McCoy, I've been gone. Can I at least get my attention back?
Look to you.
Now, look, Joy Taylor is unfortunately not here with us today. But I am sitting here with Shady McCoy, James Jones, about 25 years of NFL experience at the desk, and I won't tell you how many I got. But to my left and to my right is a whole lot of talent, and we're about to talk about one of the most talented players, at least coming off of last season.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Dak Prescott. Family, it's going to be a good show. I appreciate y'all tuning in. But get this, to my shock, to everybody's dismay, the Dallas Cowboys aren't going to sign Dak Prescott to a long-term deal, reports are saying. They're going to make him enter into the final year of his contract. Bring us on camera, please. In large part, because I ain't seen my family in a while, so I want to see them. And secondarily, I want to make this point to you, the camera. It's unheard of, Shady, what the Cowboys are doing. You don't let franchise quarterbacks hit the market because franchise quarterbacks are hard to come by. So the fact that the Dallas Cowboys have the first right to sign Dak Prescott, but yet they're letting him hit the market, family at home, that is crazy. The conversation we're about to have is paramount. But Shady, you won a couple Super Bowls with a couple great quarterbacks. You know better than anybody great quarterback play. So let me ask you first. Is it the right move?
You only got to finish. I told you. And by the way, your comeback suit is light. It's nice, bro.
Appreciate you, man.
When you come back, everybody ain't seen you in a while. You put this color on. I love it.
You got to get
swagged. Let me ask for the family.
Okay, get back.
Is it the right move for the Cowboys to make Dak Prescott play on the final year of his deal?
I mean, duh. Yeah, what do you mean? Yes. What are we talking about here? This guy, the last 2 years, I'm not even going to his resume, but his last 2 years, he's had a top five, top three roster.
Yeah.
Right? What else do you need?
Yeah.
And he can't get over the hump. If we're talking about the regular season, sure, sign him up. Give him $200, $300, $400 million for the regular season. But the postseason, where it matters the most, with Cowboys used to having the rings and things, right?
Things.
He can't give you that. And Jerry Jones finally came to light and said it. Yes, we love Dak Prescott. Yes, we do. He's one of my own. But we can't win the big game with him. So either you prove it that you can win the big game, and I'm going to prove it, and I'm going to pay you off. And if you can't, I'm going to let you walk. Yeah. All pro year and all that. Took 8 years to get it. It finally got it. Cool. It wasn't enough. I've been saying since day one, the Dallas Cowboys, they don't need nothing else.
Okay.
They got everything they need. Yep. That roster, people would die to have a roster like that. And they have it. The issue is they have a quarterback that can't win in the big games.
Pause.
Yeah.
Pause.
I said it.
Pause.
Yeah, I said it. Yeah.
This is a true story I'm about to tell you all.
Yeah.
I was navigating an airport today. I was walking through the airport. It was early in the morning. I needed to dispose of a bottle of water. Y'all know you can't take bottles of water through the machine.
That's the rule.
That's the rule. I put a bottle of water down. I asked the security worker. I said, hey, you need me to go get it? He said, no, I'll go get it for you. I said, oh, that's love. Maybe he watches the show, whatever the case may be. I walked through the machine. I had my hood on. I was trying to be incognito. All he says as I walk away is, tell Shady, keep Dak's name out his mouth. So, Shady.
Oh!
I would be remiss.
Wait, you got his name or number?
If I did not relay that information. Because you was just talking a little bit too spicy about Dak Prescott. I would be remiss if I did not relay that information.
This is the first time you gave a shout out to those people out there. I like that, man.
I was just telling a story.
Like, even a people person. Like
I was just telling a story. James Jones, are the Cowboys making the right decision?
No, they are not making the right decision. You just said it, right? Franchise quarterback is hard to find.
Hard to find.
They have a franchise quarterback. So two things are going to happen here with Jerry, right? Number one, Dak Prescott is going to go out here and ball because that's what Dak Prescott does, right? If he gets into playoffs and he finds a way to win a couple games and get over the hump, the price just went way, 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 way up on you. Number two, you better have a really, really, really good backup plan. Mm. Because what other quarterback is going to come into this team and take you over the hump right away? So how many more years is this going to put you back? As for Dak Prescott, Dak Prescott is about to make $50 million this year, around that number.
Nice.
And if he hits the free agent market, somebody is going to break him off.
That's true.
Whether we like it or not. So Dak Prescott is in a really good situation. As for Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, I understand what the world is saying, like Shady talking about the man can't get over a hump. You are in the playoffs consistently with Dak Prescott.
Nice.
The most wins of a quarterback in the regular season consistently. Like, he is a winner. Mm. You're going to, in the draft or in free agency, try to find somebody that's better than Dak Prescott. But over these years that Dak Prescott been playing, it's hard to do.
Sure.
And this past year, he's shown you, at least to the people that vote, like you, Acho, that he the second best quarterback in football. Because he was second team all pro. Mm-hmm. So for me, Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback. Obviously, he has a star on his helmet, so he's going to get a ton of pressure. But I just don't know if this is the right decision, because where are you going?
What I love about this show is working with people who played at a high level. To my right, 2 Super Bowls. To my left, 1 Super Bowl. James, you said Dak Prescott, he gets you to the Super Bowl.
No.
Excuse me. He said, excuse me.
He never would say that.
I apologize. God, dog, I'm rusty.
Going too far.
I'm rusty.
Your antennas be up when we talk
about that. Put the holy word.
I'm rusty. You said he gets you to the playoffs, but James.
Consistently.
That almost sounds putrid coming out of your mouth, because you won a Super Bowl.
Yes, I did.
So the objective for the 2 people to my right, well, 1 to my right and 1 to my left, isn't the playoffs. What are we talking about? This ain't a kid's game. It's Super Bowl. Right. There's 3 rings between the 3 of us, and I don't have 1 of them.
Yes, there is.
Which means y'all got them all. So why are you talking to me and them about playoffs and not Super Bowls,
because
sir?
Because the only reason why I'm talking to you like that is because I know how hard it is to find a good quarterback. I was blessed to play with Aaron Rodgers. I was blessed to play with Derek Carr. But I also seen Matt Flynn. I also seen Scott Tolzien. I also seen Seneca Wallace when them boys got hurt. And it wasn't good. Mm-hmm. So where are you going after this? You can draft and hope, but you have a guy that can play the game at a high level right now. And I understand the main question is get over the hump. But another question is, can we get there to even try to get over the hump consistently every year? And one day it might happen.
This is my issue and question for you is, like, it seems like, I don't know, because you played with Aaron Rodgers for so long, with so much, he was so great of a player that didn't do accomplish a lot for the team, but more individual stats, right? 19 years in the league, only 1 Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're speaking because you that part, or is it more of, do you actually care about winning Super Bowls? Because when I think about this, you play for the Dallas Cowboys, right? And Dak Prescott, before you got here, that's what we did, bro.
Is it?
We won Super Bowls.
Oh, Tony did?
Listen,
Tony got over the,
Tony didn't have a team like that.
Slide over here.
When you got a top 5 roster like that, as a GM, as an owner, like, you sit there like, okay, how can I have the best team in football? I have to draft well, I have to manage the salary cap, and I have to go out there and get free agents.
Yeah.
Check all them check marks.
Yeah.
You've done that, right? I got to get a solid quarterback to win me games, get to the playoffs, to win Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You have that. Yeah. What's next? We need more from Dak Prescott, right? Because all you're going to get is the same results every year with a expensive-ass quarterback.
Mm.
Why can't I get a cheap quarterback and get the same results?
So
that's my thing.
So my thing is really quick, we should cancel all the quarterbacks then except Patty and Matthew Stafford. We should cancel Josh Allen.
You know why we can't?
No, hold on.
We play for the Dallas Cowboys, the biggest brand in sports.
Hold on. But you played a quarterback position, and he's playing it really, really well. Dak Prescott been in the league for how many years, Shady?
I don't know.
8 of them.
You said 8, right? Cowboys ain't been to the NFC Championship in 30-plus years.
Okay. But we talking about right now.
So I know, but we putting all this on Dak Prescott. They ain't been there in 30-plus years.
You know why he's talking like that?
Why?
Because he don't sign that check. That's why he's talking like that. If it was him, sign that check, give him a dude $60 million that can't win a Super Bowl, you won't be acting and talking like that. If it was you, sign that check for $60 million a year, and every year I get to the same point, and you lose because of the same reason, the quarterback, you won't be talking like that.
If Dak Prescott...
All that talent he got.
If this was last year...
That's crazy, man.
Dak Prescott really lost the game against the Niners, sure, I might not be thinking about that. This past year, everybody lost the game. The defense, the...
You know that pick 6 blew the joint.
He don't care about that. He don't care about the first pick or the pick 6.
When did they stop him?
They didn't.
So what?
But the offense was giving up. I don't want to get distracted.
So don't
get
distracted.
Here's my question to you, because I think you made a brilliant point, and your brilliant point was everybody who don't win Super Bowls, why don't we cancel them?
Exactly.
Then? Here would be my response is, Dak, we know he's not getting there. There is ample data. The data size is 8 years times 16 games, moved to 17 games. You at home do the math. I don't have a calculator in front of me, but off top of my head, probably 150 or 170 games Dak Prescott has played and shown you he won't get there. Mm. The jury, though, at least would still be out on Joe Burrow. It would at least still be out on Brock Purdy. It would at least still be out on, even if you don't like him, Justin Herbert. It would at least still be out on Trevor Lawrence, because you've only seen four-year, 3.5-year sample sizes. Dak James Jones has shown you 8 years worth of content.
What about the teams, though? See, I hate to do this, because I don't.
What you have to do?
I don't care to hate on these dudes, but I gotta be honest, like. You talking about Justin Herbert, all these other dudes. Look at the team that Dak Prescott has, bro. Look at the team. Look at the offense. Mm. Quarterback, if Josh Allen played for the Cowboys, you know how sick I would be for my Eagles, for the league? Oof. And we wouldn't have this conversation. Can
so
he win
now Josh didn't have good teams?
And not like the Cowboys, no.
Really quick.
Yes, sir.
Who's your favorite quarterback of all time? Is it Peyton Manning? I believe that who you said.
Peyton's my two. Peyton's my two.
How many years did it take him to get over the hump?
Nine. Mm. Took him nine.
You was giving up on him?
No.
You was screaming that he ain't going
to... Did he say Peyton Manning over...
I'm just saying. The man...
No, you're not just saying.
For 9 years.
I'm done.
But I agree.
I'm done.
But the premise that you are following then is that Dak Prescott could have a Peyton Manning type of path.
I believe Dak Prescott can get over the hump. I'm not saying he going to win five MVPs and he going to three Super Bowls. He can get over the hump. Well, I believe he's that good of a player.
Well, speaking of getting over the hump, Justin Fields is going to have to try to get over the hump in a brand new situation. It was shocking this offseason when Russell Wilson, the $200 million quarterback, he left Denver and he joined the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, Mike Tomlin recently said that both quarterbacks will have a chance to start, because if you recall, recently Justin Fields left Chicago. He is now also with the Steelers. This is maybe my favorite storyline in all of sports right now, because there could be a competition. Shady McCoy, let me personalize it for the audience for a second. You're drafted to the Eagles in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Westbrook is already there. Brian Westbrook obviously was an incredibly talented player on the tail end of his career. You were a young bull, second round pick, didn't compete at the combine due to an injury, but you were incredibly talented. Everybody knew that. Justin Fields, incredibly talented,
but he hasn't shown us.
He hasn't shown us the talent.
Wait.
Not continuously. He hasn't shown us the talent.
Here.
Russell Wilson on the tail end of his career, if you'll allow me to draw a parallel, but I'm not at all comparing 12-year NFL vet, all-decade running back to Justin Fields. That's not what I'm doing.
All right.
What I am doing is saying you've been in a situation behind a savvy veteran on the tail end of his career where there wasn't a competition, but you were hoping that there was. Do you think there's going to be a quarterback competition, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, Pittsburgh?
Nah. I think of, like, Andy Reid is a type of coach. By the way, I saw him yesterday on FaceTime. But anyway, he's the type of guy like Tomlin, where super respected. When he says something, the players believe it. The media believes it. We all believe it. He don't bull crap you. He don't joke around. He's serious. He takes his job serious. And I think that Tomlin's the same way. And Andy told me that, hey, the starter is Brian Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, I mean, coach, he's older. You see how I'm good. Mm-hmm. I don't care about all that. He put a lot of work into this game. You see what he's done, right? We can win with him right now. We think we can, but we can win with him. Mm-hmm. So I understand that. And then the difference between me and Justin is like, you know, they call me crazy work for a reason. They gave him for a six-rounder. My thing is this. He hasn't shown enough for us to say, yo, lead this team to victory. Lead this team to the playoffs. Lead this team. Why would you give him the keys to the car for what? Why would you do that? Yeah. So I look at a guy like Russ who had a good year this year, despite what people might think. Had a good year, right, on a bad team. You come into a good team, a really, really good defense that's coached very, very well, that's been consistent as a coach for so many years. I think it works for them. I think Justin's like a project. I will say this about Justin Fields. He does have talent, right? Not a lot in his arm, but a lot in his feet, right? And I think he can develop with his arm and get a lot better. But I need to see it. And I think in Pittsburgh, he could have a redshirt year, because that's what he's doing. He's been in a redshirt, right? And there's nothing wrong with redshirts, right? Did you redshirt?
Yes, sir.
Did you redshirt?
No, sir.
Oh, I didn't redshirt either, but you did good. And there's nothing wrong with being in a redshirt. So
ain't
I think
wrong with it.
He go to Pittsburgh, he's a redshirt, right? Right? Or gray shirt, because he
gray
played
shirt,
in it. But
yeah.
Gray shirt, right? And he figured out, learned from Russ what to do, what not to do, how to get better, how to be a pro. And then eventually, one day, God willing, that you might get a shot to start in the league again.
Let me ask you this, Shady, before we go to James Jones, because this might be the most important question on this topic. Will Fields have to go take the job, or will Russell Wilson have to lose the job? You've been in a situation like this before.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a broken shoelace, something like that, get a chance to go out there and play. Yeah. I just think that the way Russ has played with the Broncos this last year, that is a good enough quarterback production.
Yeah.
That the Steelers can actually go to the playoffs and win some games, well right? Said. So my thing is with him is, I don't think Tom's gonna give him the chance to go out there and go take it, mm-hmm. right? I think something has to happen with injuries or something like that for him to actually go out there and play and be a starter.
James well, Jones, number, QB competition?
Number one, yes, it is a QB competition.
Oh, is it?
Number two, I hope that Russell Wilson does win the job. Yeah. Because I would love to see Justin Fields sit back for 1 year, learn from Russ, see the good, Richard. See the bad, see the ups and the downs and all. I would love that. But the type of player that Justin Fields is, when we see him at his talented moments, he is a really talented player, however you want to look at
That's
it.
That's most
he
people.
He is a really talented player. So with this being a quarterback competition, with the starting quarterback only making $1 million, mm-hmm. he is going to have a really good opportunity to go win this job. And I'm telling you right now, I don't care what Tomlin says, because Tomlin came out and he said early that Russell Wilson, this is Russell Wilson's job. Then he came out and he said, well, he going to be the one to kind of start this thing off. That lets you know if you mess up a little bit or you playing bad, we have a guy behind you that we traded for. I'm telling you right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers would love to see Justin Fields beat Russell Wilson out.
Yeah.
You have an extremely young quarterback what? That just beat out this dude that you can plug into your organization for the next 10 years.
You don't agree?
An extremely young player.
You know
they
what?
Would love to see
Not
that.
Not if they want to win. Let me say this for a second, right? The Steelers defense would love to play against Justin Fields. That's for one. For two is...
And Russ.
And for two is... No, that's not true. For two is, when you look at this, the Steelers team, they got some veteran leaders that, like, are well-respected, right? I don't have to go to each names, but y'all know who they are.
Of course.
Especially on defense.
Yep.
What message are you sending to defense when you're saying, yo, we're going to start Justin Fields?
Well, I mean...
After you see this dude play for all these years, 10 and 28, you see what he is. As a defense, you want to play a guy like that. And compared to a winner, a Super Bowl champion, and Russell Wilson, you want that on your team. What message are you sending your defense?
First off, it's going to have to be clear, right? And the defensive players are going to see that. Like, man, Justin Fields is out balling Russ. They're going to see that's the only way to start him. They gave Russell Wilson the keys right now to start this thing off.
Right.
So for Justin Fields to take these keys, everybody's going to have to see that this young man is truly balling.
So preseason, right? So yeah. Real quick, this is how it usually works, right? And can't if it's a competition. But quarterbacks, I mean, Justin Fields can run and Russ can run. Mm-hmm. But Russ throws the ball a lot better, right?
Well, that's what we're going to find out.
So my thing is, I don't see him beating him out in camp,
yeah.
right? Because we got to throw the ball in camp. And one thing we can say, the worst thing about Justin Fields is not his legs. What is it? It's his arm. It's his reads. It's his eyes. If you put in there the part where he can run the ball a little bit, now it might be a competition a little bit because he can run and make
Let's be honest, because we don't got a sugarcoat. It's just y'all. Y'all been here. It's all athletes here at this desk. Justin Fields, I don't think, is going to get enough of an opportunity to beat him out in camp. Mm. Let's keep it a buck. I've been the backup in camp. If you are the backup in camp, supposed to be the backup in camp, you don't get enough starters with the ones. What I mean, family at home, is Shady McCoy, they say, one's up. Shady McCoy, James Jones, they buckle up their chin straps, they jog out there. They get the first four plays. Two's up. Acho trots out there. Acho gets three plays. If it's camp and there's still enough bodies, three's up. Threes jog out there. They get two plays. One's back up. Shady, I got to go back there again. Let me get some water. Let me get a quick swig. Shady goes back up there and gets his four plays. If Justin Fields is only getting six plays to Russell Wilson's 10 plays every practice period, roughly 12 practice periods as it pertains to competition, excluding stretch, excluding field goal PAT, excluding punt, I don't think Fields is going to have enough time, James, to beat Russ.
That is a really, really, really good point.
Yes,
and they
is.
Better keep it like that. Because once you start playing with it, hey, Shady, go take this one with the ref. I know where to go grab Westbrook. Once you start doing stuff like that, it's like, oh, shoot, we got us a little quarterback competition.
Yeah.
So if he keeps it like that to where it's, hey, one's up and Russ Trout's out there, two's up, and it's consistently, because if you give him reps with the ones and he starts making plays, then you truly have a quarterback competition. And I understand what Shady's saying. There could be veterans over there, but if they see this young man balling, they are going to see that with their own two eyes, too. And then when you walk in the locker room, let's just keep it a buck. Who you think these dudes gonna respect more? Even though Russell Wilson done did all that, who you think these dudes gonna gravitate more to in the locker room? Justin Fields or Russell Wilson?
I would say Fields. Gravitate.
Oh,
gravitate.
Who y'all think this? Seriously, though, who you think he is? You talking like he Michael Vick or somebody? Am I missing something here? I've been watching football for a long time, playing at a high level for years. You be talking about this guy like he's like this, like he's Cam Newton.
Justin Fields is a better locker room guy than Russ. I will say that.
I don't know that.
Okay.
Who's a better player on the field? I don't know about the locker room.
That's
on
why,
the grass,
that's why
on the grass, we get paid to do, right? Who's better?
We're going to find out.
Because
we know, though.
Well, we Russ know right now because Russ is Russ going to start, but we're going to find out.
No. Let's just get away from the Steelers. Who's a better quarterback
in
general?
Career, Russ played better.
I'm saying, so you be like, you talk about this guy like he. Maybe I'm missing something. Can you start showing me some tape or some plays that I can feel how you feel? Or give me some drinks so I can feel how you feel? Because I don't know what you see.
But I turned the tape on too now the young bull finished the season, though.
And you know, and the crazy part about this is he played with really great quarterbacks. So how you play these greats and then you don't know what a good
thing is the last couple years we can say the same about Russ. What you looking at? Can you ask me to drink?
This year. No, this year.
I'm saying.
This year.
The man was due $40 million. They said, get going. The man got benched. So how good is he playing?
This year.
He got benched.
Why did he get benched?
You tell me.
It was
losing.
No. It was some injury crap going on and to save some money. Because he beat some top teams.
But if he was playing extremely well, like you saying, he's still getting benched?
Well, he did. Hold on now. He did beat Josh Allen on the road.
Beat the Bills.
Did that not happen?
That did happen.
Oh, wait. He did beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, the Super Bowl Chiefs. Yeah. Did that not happen?
In the regular season, Dak beat a lot of people in the regular season.
Come on, bro. Stick to the...
I'm just saying.
He said stick to the top.
Yo, my daughter does that.
You talking about...
My daughter, yo, she...
beat Josh and all this.
I asked my daughter something. She talk about this. She talk about that. She do everything to talk about the main subject, though. You should be a lawyer.
What's the main thing?
You should be a lawyer.
Family, I'll be honest with you. Coming up is my favorite segment. We are headed to the locker room.
Crazy work.
No, Shady.
Oh.
You're not going to find another sports show today where there's only athletes at the desk. So we're going to have a real unfiltered conversation about Caleb Williams. Do we trust him to lead a group of men? Remember, we saw him crying in his mom's arms. He said he wanted to cuddle his dog and watch Netflix after a loss.
Mm-hmm.
That's next. Check us out every day. Fox Sports Channel. Sirius XM.
He's a loving guy, huh?
Yes.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, family, like I said, only show on TV today that I know of where it's old former athletes. Shady, sit down, big dog.
That is the locker room.
Family, I had to bring y'all into the locker room for this topic because it's about to get real. It's about to get unfiltered. Caleb Williams, he is the talk of the town. This is literally how it goes down in the locker room.
That's my boy. I'll show you.
Caleb Williams, he's the talk of the town. He's supposed to be the number one overall pick. But people are questioning James Jones, his leadership. But the head coach for the Chicago Bears, he recently said, quote, that Caleb is a great personality and has great character. Yeah. Here is my question. 20 years of NFL experience to my left, 3 Super Bowls to my left. You got a touchdown reception leader in 2012. You got a running back yardage leader and touchdown leader in different years. Think 2013 and some other year.
I got my belt in the locker room.
We're not talking about that right now.
So
here's
2012.
I don't think so.
I got injured.
This is literally how it goes in the locker room. Here's my question, though, and I'm going to be real with y'all. Are you worried, James Jones, about Caleb Williams being able to lead a group of men? And here is why.
Yeah.
After he lost to Washington this past year, it was his 3rd loss in 4 games. He jumps into the stands. You can see it behind us. He's in his mom's arms. He's crying. I have no issue with it, but people in locker rooms might. Yeah. He goes to the podium, I believe, after this game, and he says, I just want to go home, cuddle my dogs, watch some shows.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Then earlier on this week, he was seen with painted fingernails, and that got backlash. Right. And then he was seen with a pink cell phone. Again, I do not care.
Yeah.
But people in locker rooms do. Caleb Williams, quarterback, you got to lead a whole team. You worried about him being able to lead men?
I'm not. And I understand the signs that everybody is getting right now. But what I always go back to is, have any of your teammates said anything? Have any of your teammates came out at USC and said, man, Caleb Williams is this type teammate, you know, He do this, he do that, we don't like, he hasn't, right? So one thing I learned about the National Football League, you get a lot of different personalities that come in there. You know, you get some like you, you get some like this dude, you know what I'm saying? You get some like others, right, that come in there. And one thing I know is, if you come in there with your head down and you ball, everybody your friend.
Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
That's how it works. So even listening to all these Bears players talk, that's what they saying. Don't try to come in here Hollywood like it's your team off rip. No, put your head down, come out here and make plays, and you will earn the respect of the guys in the locker room, point blank period. He is the quarterback.
Sure.
Once this young fella start balling, it ain't even really too much he got to say or do to become the leader in that locker room. Like, you are the face of the franchise. So once this young fella starts making plays and he's putting his head down working and he's earning the respect of the dudes in the locker room, he's going to be just fine.
But, Shady, can't you, I got to say it on camera, can't you run your teammates hot? Can't say what I want to say.
Yes, you can.
Can't you run your, how would I translate it? Can't you upset your teammates before you ever win your teammates over? Remember, Jalen Johnson, star cornerback for the Chicago Bears, after he saw that Caleb Williams wasn't going to perform at the NFL Combine, he said, hey, leave that Hollywood stuff behind me. Jalen Johnson, he says, you can't bring that Hollywood stuff into the building. He said, especially not with the guys who have played this game at a high level. Shady McCoy, you worried about Caleb Williams.
What's up, bro?
What's good, my G?
You had a terrible practice today, man. But it's always next.
I know.
Tomorrow,
yeah,
all right?
Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to get it right.
You know what, man? The thing about this is, like, y'all a bad team. Who won y'all over yet? Coaches hasn't. Players hasn't. Mm. Y'all need somebody to come save y'all, right? And we worry about all the wrong things. Worry about how he coming in the locker room. Y'all need somebody in the locker room. Y'all need somebody. I think the problem with Caleb Williams is everybody's worried about everything but the white lines. When we see him in the white lines, I don't know what color his nails are that day. I know he throws touchdown passes. I know he wins games. I know he won a Heisman.
Yeah.
These are things that we do know, right? Yeah. And I know him. He seems like a good guy, super smart. I met his mom. Nice mom. And if he wants to cry with his mom or cuddle with his Yorkie dogs or whatever type of dog he has, that's okay. We can't sit here and act like we haven't played with a lot of different type of people. Now, I'm from the East Coast, right? And you can tell the way I walk, the way I talk. I play with guys from the West Coast I thought were super different.
Yep.
DeSean Jackson.
D-Jack.
One of my best friends, right? When I first met him, I'm like, yo, he's a great player, but boy, is he different. Right? And this is more of culture. And West Coast is different from East Coast. And guys from the South, everything is so different. The music we listen to, how we get up for games compared to how you get up for a game. And that stuff doesn't even matter. What matters is how we work together as teammates. How can we accomplish the same goal?
But, James, let me say, I'm going to mention a name and tell you all the story. Haven't said it before. James, you should know what I'm talking about. JaMychal Finley.
He was nice.
JaMychal Finley was a 6'4 and a half, 260-pound tight end, played for the Green Bay Packers, was on the Super Bowl championship team. But before he was in Green Bay 2-5, he played at Texas.
Okay.
J. Mike, very interestingly, would paint his fingernails black.
And his toes.
And his toenails black. Now, in Texas, nobody going to say nothing to J. Mike. I told y'all, family.
Yeah.
6'4 and a half, 260. Before tight ends were 6'4 and a half, 260. This was back in 2006, 2007. Now everybody's 6'4, 260. Okay. You ain't saying nothing to J. Mike. Yeah. But let him not have been J. Mike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let him have been somebody, sorry, you going to paint your fingernails black? Bro, if you don't go get some alcohol remover and get the... So what I'm saying is, because he was so talented, we turned a blind eye to it. Yeah. Are y'all telling me that Caleb Williams then has to be good if he's going to do all the other stuff, if you will?
You know what? That's a good question, because in the locker room in Green Bay, J. Mike was 88. I was 89. And one time I looked down like, bruh. His locker like this close to me was, hey, what you doing? You know what I'm saying? But what J. Mike did is he came in there. He showed that locker room and that team he was a dog, and he balled. It wasn't no funny stuff. It wasn't nothing.
Nice,
head
nice.
Down, and I'm going to work. And that's why I said that's really the only thing he can do. We all know there's nothing more than you respecting a dude coming in there, good day, bad day, standing up to the podium, talking about the team. Hey, this is how we're going to do. We got better today. We did. No excuses, right? And then coming in there working. Maybe the first dude in the building, you're like, dang, Caleb here already?
Mm-hmm.
The last dude, he out there throwing. Receivers, get some extra work. Let's throw. That's how you earn the locker room, the trust of the locker room and the respect of the locker room. You come in there and do that. I don't care what color your phone is. I don't care what color your toenails is. If you come in there and you're going to be here, you're going to compete, and you're going to ball, welcome to the family.
But I do care, right?
Because why?
Like,
We all make jokes. That's another thing about playing in the locker room.
You're right.
High school.
Yeah, you're right.
So the best player on the team, it could be whoever they be.
Joke on
you. People get jokes.
No question.
So it's like we got to act like that don't exist. It's on every level of football, it exists. So, yeah, you might be nice and all that, but, yo, what's up with you? That man, you got pink. You see what I'm saying?
No question.
But that's the brotherhood about it, yeah, right? I would joke about dudes how they dress. Now, they might not like the way I dress, but it's – that's part of being a brotherhood and making the game that we love fun.
Shady, let me ask you this. You played with Donovan McNabb. You played with Mike Vick. You played with Nick Foles. You played with Josh Allen. You played with Tyrod Taylor. You played with Pat Mahomes. You played with Tom Brady. I am sure that I am missing
Vince Young,
some names.
Come on, Texas.
Play with
come on,
that's
baby.
On me. I'm sure I missed some names. What made – I'm talking about the dude you started with. Started minimum of 10 starts. Minimum of 10 starts. Shady, what quarterbacks did you gravitate to? Not necessarily the names, but, like, why did you gravitate to certain quarterbacks? And did that actually matter?
So I'm going to say all of them, okay. Right? Because that's my personality. Where some dudes probably more quiet, I wasn't. You can tell. Y'all, yeah, me.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys know. but there was certain guys that, like McNabb, right? I thought McNabb was a little different. Cool dude. He was a lot older. No, I was 20 years old. He was a lot older. He listened to Michael Jackson and stuff like that. I don't listen to Michael Jackson at 20 years old.
Yeah.
I knew he was. That's just something simple I'm giving you, like an example. But guy like Michael Vick, I idolized as a kid. I couldn't wait. I remember when he walked in there, I'm like, yo, what's up, man? What's up, Shady, homie? What's good? He walked, I'm like, yo, I just talked about. So there's so many different. Josh Allen, so super cool. You ever had like the white dude that he's the only white dude in the hood? He was one of them. Super tough, super competitive. Patrick Mahomes, another dude, right? He's comfortable in his own skin. I can go on about each quarterback. And the cool thing about it is like, we had our own relationship. And I think for this case with the Bears and Caleb Williams is we're looking for him to be this type of guy, be this type. Forget all that. Be the pink nails, pink phone case, cuddling with your dogs, crying in the face with your mom. Be that guy for the Bears. As long as you play the game the right way and you give everything you have to your teammates, that's all that matters.
And that's a really good point, too, because.
Well, thank you, brother.
No, you brought up joking. You can't be sensitive in the locker room.
Because I joke you. Because I be joking him, though.
You can't be sensitive in the locker room. So that's another thing.
That is
because
true.
That is one way to kind of lose the locker room.
Yes. Like,
bro, you can't even joke with bro. I ain't even got nothing to say to him.
Yep. He emotional.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So come in there. Don't be sensitive. Because Shady is right. We don't care in the locker room who you are. If today the joke is on you and you the MVP quarterback, today the joke on you, point blank period. So you can't be sensitive no matter what you are, what you do, whatever, you cannot be sensitive.
And another thing, when we played the Philadelphia together, right, as you know that, and Acho wasn't like no big star like he is on TV and as a ball player, I joke with him the same way I joke with Macklin. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so a teammate is a real teammate
room.
No matter what the what he making or how good he is.
That's true. Well, that's true. Well said. Well, hopefully for at least the last 10, 15 minutes, we brought y'all inside our own locker room, and this is literally how we
roll. Yo, what up? Yo, what's good?
Shots fired. Family, when we return, the UFL is set to kick off, and we have one of the key people in the league, Arlington Renegades head coach Bob Stoops. He will join us on the other half, other side, this commercial break. Hey, team, meet your boss. All right, well, speaking of the UFL, we have one of my favorite coaches, one of the greatest coaches of the generation. This is not impromptu. This is straight from my heart because I fervently believe it. It's the head coach of the Arlington Renegades right now. That is Bob Stoops. Coach Stoops, welcome to speak, my friend.
What's up, Coach?
Hey, thank you, Emmanuel. Good to be with you, LaShawn and James. Great guys. I love listening to your show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You won the XFL championship last season. How great did that feel?
It felt great. I'll show you. It's right over my shoulder
there.
There you go. But you know how it is. If you're going to do something, you want to win.
Yeah.
And, we struggled early, and then we figured it out in the back half of the season and won the championship. So anytime you win a championship, it's a lot of fun.
Coach, talk to me about the experience. You coached collegiately at the highest of high levels. Again, when I talk about coaches of this generation, I talk about the U's, I talk about the Mac Browns, I talk about the Nick Sabans, I talk about the Urban Meyers, I talk about the Dabo Sweeneys. When I think about my great, great coaches of this generation, you are a great coach of this generation. So what has your experience been like coaching in the XFL and now UFL?
Yeah, thank you, Emmanuel. You're kind to say all that. I'd say the most fun part of this is you guys all were professional players. You get it. I'm just coaching football, period. When I leave the field, I don't have to go to an academic meeting. I don't have to go to a recruiting meeting. I don't have to go to a compliance meeting. I don't have to call Johnny's parents because Johnny won't go to class. So at the end of the day, it's all just football, and that's fun. And as you guys know, too, I'm working with grown men who have families, who pick up the game easily because they played so much football, and they're guys that love to play football. So it's really a joy coaching these guys.
Hey, Coach Stoops, listen. I'm available. If you need a running back, I know you know running back. If you need a running back, I am available. Let's let you know that.
Hamstring gone.
I'm good.
I'll take LeSean any day. You know that. Heck yeah.
I want to ask you this, though. There's so many different changes with the NFL, the UFL. And I want to ask you, what are some of the new changes with the rules that we can expect to see this year?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The big news this week has been the NFL picking up last year's XFL kickoff rule, you know, and kickoff return rule, and which was really exceptional. And I was skeptical when I first saw it being implemented last year. But the first game I saw it live, I loved it. I thought this is fantastic. And but anyway, you know, outside of that, most of the other rules are all pretty much the same. The extra point rules are different. You know, after a touchdown, instead of kicking a boring extra point, we could go for one from the 2 yard line. We could go for 2 points from the 5 yard line, and we could go for 3 points from the 10 yard line. So depending on the score, you're never like out of reach, or you always can come back. So it's makes it really different. There's the kickoff rule that oddly we're not actually using it this year.
So you like the new rules, it sound like to me.
I do. I thought that this was really positive. It, you know, here's the problem. You guys get this. It's the whole pageantry of the kickoff. 20% of them, give or take, are returned. So it's go out there, line up, let everyone look at you, line up, kick it in the end zone or fair catch it, and there's no return. Right. I mean, it's boring. This way, our returns last year were around 85%. And therein lies the difference. You want action, you're going to get more action that way.
There you go. Speaking of action, right, you were the XFL last year. You merged with the USFL. Just touch on the talent, right, because this is two leagues merging. Yeah. Like, is your team way more talented knowing that you merged with the USFL? How's the talent out there knowing that those guys trying to get back to the NFL?
Yeah, James, you're absolutely correct. You think of we had two leagues, 16 teams. They cut half from each league, four teams from each, and only have eight teams now. So we got to choose the best players from those eight teams not playing anymore. Well, that's right. You know what it's like. Think you guys get it. Think of the last 8-10 players cut from every NFL team. Mm. Those are really good football players.
That's true.
And now they're all divided up into just eight teams instead of 16. Our talent levels crazy different than it was a year ago. And I'm sure we're not the only ones. I'm sure that's going to be the case for every team.
There you go.
Coach, exhale real quick, because now we've talked UFL, but I want to just talk ball with one of the smartest minds. Let's talk college. You were at college for a long time, and you were one of the best, like I've already said, to ever do it. But, Coach, the landscape of college football is different. If y'all are watching at home, turn your volumes up because it's about to get good. Coach, I'm interested. It's about to get better. I'm interested. We've seen the head coach at UCLA, Chip Kelly, leave being a head coach and go become an offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. We've seen the head coach at Boston College leave being a head coach to go become a defensive coordinator in the NFL. This is baffling stuff, Coach, because back in the day, if you were a head coach at a big-time program, a Power 5 program, you're not leaving unless they fire you. Mm-hmm. Coach, the landscape of college football, how do you feel about it currently?
I don't believe it's very good. Mm. I don't believe it's sustainable. Let's face it, you guys have all worked in college and the NFL. This is an NFL model that we have now, but we're trying to act like we're an NCAA or a college model, and that isn't the case. So in my opinion, there needs to be a lot of movement towards an NFL professional model, whether you have commissioners, you have contracts, you have salary caps, or, the NFL has all of this, don't they? You guys know.
Yeah, they do.
You know, but college football doesn't. So you guy could be a free agent every single year, depending on how he plays. So in the end, it's not good. And, you know, players just coming in, how much money I get paid, or I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there. I don't know. You know, I think at some point it's going to affect the fans where it's going to turn them off as well.
That's a great point.
Wow.
I mean, we've seen Deion Sanders talk about it, Coach Prime, and we've seen Nick Saban talk about it. So that's a good point. But since we're on college, let's stick to that. When I was about, 16, right, I didn't have a lot of money, but some way they found a way to send me to San Antonio, Texas for All-American game. And one of your players, right, really, really good.
Who was it?
Adrian Peterson.
Ooh.
It's the first time I've ever seen him play, right? Because at the time, it was like rivals.com and all the, you know, the rankings and all that. That was a five-star, but anyway. But I got a chance to watch him play. I was like, wow, who the hell is this dude? And I followed his career, and obviously, he played for you. Can you tell us some good stories about AP or just how good he was?
Yeah, what's your best AP story, Coach?
Yeah, like, give us one.
Well, first of all, you're correct. There is nobody like him from the day he walked on campus.
Dang.
He was an absolute, you know, just the strength, the power, the determination. He was a beast. I walked in the weight room one day, and I see him his freshman year. He's holding two 80-pound dumbbells in his hand, and he's jumping on the highest plyometric box.
What?
And I'm like, whoa, Mike Smitty. I looked at Jerry Schmidt, our strength coach. I go, he's going to get hurt. Like, what are we doing? He goes, oh, don't worry about him. He goes, he got no problem with this. Mm. And my man goes up 2-3 times. He had that pride too, not only the talent, as you guys recognized, he had the pride of how he worked. Like, no one was ever going to beat him in a conditioning drill. Mm. He was never going to, you know, take anything slow off, whatever. He went full speed all the time. Now, I tried to convince him not to play in our last game, the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
Because he had already missed 6 games. He missed the whole back half of the year, and it's his third year. So I said, man, you're going to probably go pro. You don't need to play. He cut me off after I was trying to convince him. He says, Coach, no. He says, if they tell me I could play, I'm blank playing.
good thing you got him before the NIL deals, because that would have been $100 million right there.
$100 million for 1 year, too. As he was going somewhere else to get that other money. Speaking of college football, right, we got a dude up here that played at a big-time program in Texas. You coached at Oklahoma. They had 162 straight weeks of being in the top 25 until Oklahoma snapped it, and you was the head coach. And in that game, our dog up here had 17 tackles, played well in the ball game, but they still lost to you guys, and you snapped it. How did that feel, snapping Texas 162 weeks straight in the top 25 and you bumping them out of there, Coach?
Oh, James, why you got to do that to me?
Right, Coach. Yeah. Right.
17 tackles, pretty good, though. Pretty good.
We just had our locker room segment. We're bringing you in the locker room, Coach.
You guys are supposed to be boys, you know? what year was that?
2010, Coach. So the 2010 season.
Oh, there goes DeMarco.
Yeah.
Hurdling people. And
DeMarco, y'all had
for touchdowns.
Yeah.
Texas had a lot of good teams in that period. There's no doubt about it. And we were, you know, I got to just say it, that we were just a little better.
Coach, let me ask you one more college question, and then I'll ask you a final UFL question before we let you go. Yep. What was your favorite part about coaching in college? College football is different than the NFL. Obviously, it's different than the UFL. What was your favorite part? For me, it was playing against OU. People ask me, oh, you hate OU? I'm like, no, I don't hate OU. Without OU, there's no Texas. Without Texas, there's no OU. Like Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, Magic one time said, of course I don't hate Larry. I don't exist without Larry. I like OU. Because without OU, there is no Texas. Without Texas, there's no OU. What is your favorite part about college football?
Yeah, I would agree with you, Emmanuel. I love playing Texas. And I don't mean that arrogantly. I just, the rivalry was special. And playing in the Cotton Bowl was special. Pulling in, the stadium split in half. That was a ball. I mean, you don't get that experience everywhere. And So I would agree with you. The big games, those big games, Big 12 championship games, you know, the BCS, the big bowl games were always special, you know, and then that rivalry, OU Texas playing down in Dallas in the Cotton Bowl, man, that was, you know, those experiences were so gratifying and fun. And win or lose, you know, it was great to be in those big moments.
Now, Coach, the UFL season, as we transition to the final question, it does kick off Saturday. Mm. What are you doing to get ready for the season as we are near that epic kickoff?
Yeah, we just working through the week, really excited about it. You know, we had our second practice of the week here today, as you guys know how you go through the week. And looking forward to it. It's going to be neat. We're XFL champs playing Birmingham Stallions, the USFL champs, in the very first game. They're coached by Skip Holtz. Yeah, very first game, noon kickoff. And right here in Choctaw Stadium in Arlington, Texas. And Skip Holtz is the head coach of their team who always does a great job. And they're back-to-back champs of the USFL.
I was about to say they put champ versus champ together.
Absolutely. So it's exciting. And with all the talent, like we talked about earlier, that's in the league now, this is going to be exciting. It's going to be covered by ESPN, ABC, as well as Fox. So a lot of great coverage, too.
That's amazing. Well, Coach, it has been an honor and audience. I hope you realize what an honor it was to hear from one of the most brilliant minds the game of football at any level has ever seen. Coach, thank you. Good luck this season, my friend.
Good luck, Coach.
I appreciate it, fellas. Great to be on with you. All the best.
Yes, sir. We'll see you soon. When we return, the Lakers, they came back from down 19 twice to beat Giannis's Bucks. You can call them Dame Lillard's Bucks, whoever Bucks you want to call them. They fell short yesterday to the Los Angeles Lakers. So are the Lakers one step closer to a championship team? Did they finally get over the hurdle even without LeBron James? That's next on Speed. Well, the Lakers, they made Milwaukee their home yesterday because even without LeBron James, they found a way to come back from down 19 points, not once, but twice. Austin Reeves, triple-double. Anthony Davis, 34-23. It was an epic night if you are a Lakers fan. Laker got a double overtime win yesterday, again, without LeBron James. Here's what's most interesting, most fascinating about this conversation. It's the most important basketball conversation you'll see on TV today. The Lakers, shady, they're led by LeBron. What matters when it comes down to LeBron James, James Jones, is winning championships. Yeah, yeah. But without LeBron, without him, yesterday, you went into the two seats house, Milwaukee, on the front end of a back-to-back. Yeah. Family, this is a mail-in game. Especially in the first quarter, you down by 19. So, mail it in. Yeah. Like, hey, let's just win tomorrow night in Memphis. Mail it in. But down by 19, without LeBron, they came back in the first quarter. Yeah. Then you get down by 19 again in the fourth quarter. No LeBron. Mail it in. You on the front end of a double-double. Mm. They didn't. They showed grit, showed toughness, showed heart, showed championship determination. Yeah. So the only question worth asking today is this. Did the Lakers take a championship step in their win without LeBron?
No.
Oh.
And the only reason why I say no is because I don't see them winning the championship with Bron. I don't think this team is built this year to win a championship. I don't see them going through the Nuggets. I don't see them going through the Thunder or the Timberwolves. I don't. I don't see them going through the Clippers. I don't. But what this did show is Bron is older, right? We all can say that. Not saying he's slowing down, but watching what the Lakers did last night, at least as a coach, you can say, okay, I can steal some minutes for Bron.
Yep.
Or maybe even down on this stretch, however many games is left, I can steal some games for Bron to make sure he's rested up to go into this play-in tournament. Because at the end of the day, they're going in the play-in tournament, right? Which lets you know they ain't really been a good basketball team all year long. I mean, four-game win streak, and this is the biggest win streak of the whole season. They're not really a consistent basketball team. But what this did show is Bron can sit a little bit.
Yeah.
And we have our star like Anthony Davis that when the game goes through him, Anthony Davis delivers. It always seems every time LeBron is out, AD delivers. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's a mental thing. I don't know what it may be. But every time Bron is out, AD delivers for this basketball team on both ends of the court. So it did show that we are able to get this thing done without Bron and play at a high level. But winning a championship? Nah.
That's a lot.
Not going through the Nuggets.
But no, I will say this, though. I love what I seen yesterday, right? And
your main pilot's not there, and you still could go out there and fly?
You still could float, you know what I'm saying? You can still float to it, though. Everybody can't land that thing. But they floated, and they landed.
I seen Austin Reeves. He made some big buckets. The last three ball put him away. Yep. D-Lo. Everybody's up and down, but he's been up a lot lately. LeBron's out there. We need points. What do? You score. You hold it down. And then the last part you just talked about at James Jones is Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Against the Greek Freak, I don't know. What do? He held it down. He played big in the post. He scored. He got rebounds, and he played great, great defense. So I'll say this. I don't think the Lakers could beat the Nuggets, but I will say this. I've seen the Lakers do this before. Last year, same situation. Mm-hmm. When they had to have it, they got it. They got better and better as the year went on, from the play-in all the way to the Western Conference Finals. And I do think that the Lakers can do the same thing again.
Mm. Well said, well said. Y'all remember there was that trend on TikTok a while back. I don't know for those that use it, you viewer at home. It was about girl math. Sometimes a math that didn't necessarily add up, but it was girl math. I have Laker math because, Shady, I had been doing bad math. Back in the day, 2019, 2020, when the Lakers won the championship, this is a fascinating statistic. If LeBron and AD combined for 55 points, look at the top column only right now, the Lakers were 20-4. 60-plus points, LeBron and AD, the Lakers were 13-1. But fast forward 4 years, that does not hold true anymore. What LeBron and AD do not matter is do what they do does not matter as much. Look at the second column. When they combine for 55, Shady McCoy, James Jones, viewer at home, 10-7. You combine for 60 plus, still strong, 7-2. What's most important in my eyes right now is the third column. Shady McCoy, James Jones, viewer at home. It's about D'Lo.
That's it.
It's about Reed.
That's it.
It's about Hachimura.
Yes, it is.
Because now when they combine for 55 plus, Lakers are 10-4. 60 plus, Lakers are 6-1. The old math said LeBron AD, LeBron AD, LeBron AD. You can guarantee the Lakers win if LeBron and AD give you 55 plus, just about. That doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. The new age of the Western Conference, based on the competitiveness, is not about LeBron and AD family. It's about the third column. What are D'Lo doing? What's Hachimura doing? What's Reeves doing? And last night, those three went crazy.
They did.
That's why I think the Lakers have taken more of a championship step, because it's about the other three to me than it is about LeBron and AD.
And they just have to do that consistently. Because we all know the way LeBron plays the game of basketball, LeBron is the all-time leading scorer in this game.
For a reason.
And we all can sit up here and say LeBron is pass first, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So with LeBron playing the game that way, trying to get these dudes involved, if they can deliver, because that is the problem. Whenever those dudes do play well, they are a really good basketball team. But those dudes are up and down. We don't know when we're going to find D'Lo sometime.
Yeah.
Right? Through the course of a game, through the course of maybe a five game. We don't know what D'Lo we're going to get. If you can get that from D'Lo and these other guys that are coming off the bench, Austin Reeves, if you can get that from them, this is a really good basketball team. And they will have a chance to get out the play-in and at least get back to where they were last year.
And this was good for me to see Austin Reeves, because last year I was going crazy about him. Oh, my God, celebrating. He's so good. He's just in the third. He's a missing piece they need, especially from the scoring standpoint. But then this year, I didn't see it, right? And I'll ask all my expert basketball players, Paul Pierce, KG, all these guys, right? I said, what's the difference from last year to this year, Austin Reeves? You know what they said? He's on a scouting report now. He ain't just a nobody now. He's somebody, right? Right? That's what they said. Jim Jackson, I asked him the same thing. Yeah. So now...
Well, hold on. Break down what that means. Every now and then, remember, you start talking. You said the scouting report. Mm-hmm. What's that mean for the viewer at home in actuality?
So there's players where LeBron James, AD, they're going to tell you, hey, let's make LeBron, he's older, let's tire him out. Let's do this and that. AD, let's be physical with him. Like, he can rebound, he can do this, he can do that. You have the drawers of what they do good, what they do bad.
That's it.
The players, the younger players, the players not as good, it's not as known.
They ain't on there.
You kind of, hey, man, you guard him. You guard 12. You guard 15. Now, right, Austin Reeves, he's not LeBron James, but he's that type of player now where everybody knows who he is. Hey, Austin Reeves, watch out for him. He does this good. He does this bad. Mm-hmm. We want to get a matchup for him. Maybe one of our good defenders, we're going to guard him. Things like that. So now when I watch the Lakers, the games where LeBron's not playing, Austin Reeves is showing up. And that's good to see, because they're going to need him late in the year. Mm-hmm. All the teams we talk about, if it's the Nuggets, if it's the Mavs, if it's the Celtics, they got their star players that are really, really good. It'd be the role players that really carry them to another level.
That's how you win the championship.
Right? So we talk about Jokic. We talk about Murray. But it's other guys in that team, them role players that ball
Michael Porter
out.
Jr., Caldwell Pope,
right.
Aaron Gordon.
So my thing is, seeing a guy like Austin Reeves, a role player, right, playing a big role like that, being a star, that's what they need to win these big
games. Let me ask you all in closing, is there any way that the Lakers can beat the Nuggets.
Hey, let's not get too crazy, Nacho. We gave him a lot of credit. Don't get too. Let's just leave out with LeBron didn't play. They played well. They got to win against the Bucks.
Leave out positive, family.
Here you go.
Let's leave out positive.
About the Nuggets.
Well, family, not a lot of positivity for Dak Prescott as it pertains to his money long term. The Dallas Cowboys are saying Dak is going to play the final year on his deal. That is the reports. That is a shocking, shocking revelation. But how should their franchise quarterback feel about it? Ooh, can't wait for this one. That's next. Speak. Well, Dak Prescott dealing with a whole bunch of stuff. Dallas Cowboys, they are not going to really extend his deal. At least that's what reports are saying right now. He's set to enter the final year of his contract. Cowboys, Dak, have a mutual understanding that there will be no contract adjustment. Bring us back on camera, please. Again, I cannot overstate how big of a deal this is. You do not let star quarterbacks hit free agency because if star quarterbacks hit free agency, they can leave. While you have the first right to a quarterback, you always sign them, family. Like, this would be unprecedented, unheard of. Truly, the only time I really recall seeing it of magnitude was with Kirk Cousins, Washington Commanders. They franchise tagged him twice. They let him go. It hasn't really worked out for Washington. So, James, let's talk real then. Mm-hmm. How should Dak Prescott feel about the fact that he's coming off an all-pro season and the Cowboys are still saying, nah, earn it?
Dak Prescott shouldn't feel no type of way. Because even if Dak Prescott threw for two touchdowns, the way we are wired as NFL players, we always feel disrespected. No matter what our stats is, no matter what it is. So we all know why Dak Prescott is not getting his ascension right now. Kind of like Shady said, he can't get over the hump. That's what Jerry
Jones. Wait, is that all of us or that's us?
Because
you said we all know.
That's you and Jerry.
Okay.
That's you and Jerry. That's why they're not giving him that $60 million or whatever a year because he hasn't got over the hump. But Dak shouldn't feel no type of way because Dak is going to have a chance to hit free agency. We just seen dudes like Kirk Cousins get 180. Mm-hmm. We just seen dudes like Shady's a big fan of, Baker Mayfield get 100, right? We seen dudes like that who Dak is better than, right? Dak is coming off an all-pro year. So if he does hit free agency after making $50 million this year with the Dallas Cowboys, he gonna hit free agency and get paid. But this screams more to me, fellas.
What's that?
So you saying Dak on a 1 year? You saying Mike on a 1 year. This screams everybody gone. Dak Prescott played at an
all... Did you say Micah?
Mike McCarthy.
Oh.
Dak Prescott played at an all-pro level under Mike McCarthy.
Mm.
Dak's not signing a contract, so which means he's on a one-year deal now. Why are you going to give Mike a new quarterback? Mm. So if y'all don't get over the hump, this screams that Jerry Jones is saying everybody's gone. I don't want to bring back Dak Prescott, which means I'm not going to bring back Mike McCarthy, who he played at a high level under, and who knows if he even going to get better this year under Mike. He could be second year in the offense. So this screams a lot to me. Jerry Jones, you better have a plan. Because Mike out of there, who your head coach? Dak out of there, who your quarterback? You better have a good one or you still ain't going to get over the hump.
Bring it between lines. I like that, James. How should he feel? He should be mad. He should be pissed off. If it was me, I would. I would feel disrespected. But I would be understanding. Like, okay, I understand what's going on. You're right. I've balled out in the regular season. I was an all-pro this year. 8 years, I finally got one. But I didn't deliver you some playoff wins. I didn't deliver you a conference game. I didn't get to the Super Bowl over and over and over again. Same results. So I would understand that part, but let's just think about it for a second, man. How many great players really hit the free agency market?
None.
When you're great, you really don't hit that market. That's one part. All right, that's one part. The second part is like, why would we pay you the top of the market, though? Why would we? What have you given us for me to reward you with a $60 million contract yearly?
An all-pro, 12 wins, 13 wins consistently in the playoffs. I'm giving you all that.
And what else?
I'm giving you all that. That's how I negotiate.
Because I can't make stuff up.
Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, we made them win championships, right? I'm gonna overpay you because we know if he gets $60 million, he's overpaid. I'm overpaying you to win regular season games and lose in the playoffs. I don't want to do that. I might as well get a young quarterback, right, with some good potential that's going to do the same thing, but a lot cheaper. And another thing, all this all-pros, can you be all-pro in the playoffs?
Mm.
You're all-pro every other day. You want an all-pro.
All-pro.
Can I get all-pro in the playoffs? No. So when I hear Jerry Jones say that, and by the way, because I hate to brag with myself, but I do.
Do it.
I told y'all this. Did I not say this?
What you say?
Did I not say that? There's no reason why they should pay him at the top of the market right now.
For what? What have you done?
You crazy.
You've been a great person, yes. A great role model, yes. A good leader, yes. A good regular season quarterback, yes. Yeah. What else, though, bro? What else? Because you talk about Kirk Cousins. I guess the Commanders at the time was the Redskins. I get it. Mm-hmm. He was there. They franchise tagged him, and then they let him go, and then they've been a bad team. But, bro, when we had you, were we a great team?
That's a good point.
Were we contending for
it? Dude, I wasn't even doing close to the thing that Dak was doing in Dallas.
Though. Yeah, but he didn't have a top five roster either, James Jones. Mm. See, another thing that you're forgetting about, you don't talk about that. Because this is how it works, and I'm done with it. The GM and the ownership, right, they sit in the meetings, like, how can we make our team better? Mm-hmm. We're going to start with the offensive lineman. Let's start with the defensive line, okay? Let's get some special players, Parsons. Let's train and get a wide receiver, Amari Cooper. How can we make him better? Okay, let's get him some help. Let's go out there and go to Oklahoma and get him first-round draft pick with CeeDee Lamb. Mm. You keep adding on to it. Okay, then we find a way to go to Alabama and get an all-pro cornerback and Trayvon Diggs. He's really, really, really good.
Yeah.
How can we match up with him, though? Man, he's going this side. Okay, let's go out there and get Stephon Gilmore. Yeah. He's player of the year. Yeah. Then make it all better. We're going to go ahead and get a slot corner with
Deron Bland.
So you're doing everything in your power to be a great team. So that's what the ownership did. Mm-hmm. We need a quarterback. We found one. We got one. So we did our part. Are you going to do your part? And if you do your part, you're going to get your $60 million.
But I will say, Dak should feel disrespected. Because what does he have to do to finally get his respect? Remember, Mississippi State, he had as the number one team in the nation for a period of time. But Dak's only a fourth-round pick. Then Dak's a rookie. 13-3, gets an MVP vote as a rookie, family. Number one seed in the NFC. Top two seeds, if I'm not mistaken. But Dak still didn't get paid until after Zeke got paid. Then Dak Prescott breaks his leg, comes back 3 years later, all pro season. Incredibly hard to do, even harder to do at quarterback. And they still don't pay him without making him have to beg for it. He should feel disrespected. James Jones, final word.
All I'm going to say is, man, it's Dak Prescott been there for 8 years. Tony Romo was there for a certain amount of years.
He doing it again.
Uh-oh. For 30 years. It's been no NFC championship. It's only one dude that's been there for them 30 years. It's everybody else all the time for the last 30 years. Maybe you need to take a step back and let the people that do the football side do the football side. Let the people that need to pay people, right? And you take a sit back and let somebody else try to go get you back to the
school. No, you didn't. Just sit there and say that.
Jones.
Yes, I did. You just said that. This dude done got
it.
That's a top three all-time type of team. And you want more?
Yes, they did. They had really good teams, too.
Boy, you lucky I like you, boy.
Family, well, when we return, the NFL, it made some major rule changes. It's nearly impossible to tackle players now, and it made a overhaul.
Why are we showing that? Ooh.
To the kickoff, we're going to go back into the locker room and have a real locker room conversation about the NFL and the way in which it's headed. You ain't going to hear anything like this on television. We're doing the next.
I'm talking about this rule. Protect the players.
Hey, team meeting, 3 minutes. Team meeting, three minutes. Family, welcome back into the locker room. If you've never been in one, allow us to invite you into ours. Three former athletes, 25 years NFL experience, but it largely resides on the left side. Let's talk about the biggest rule change that has had everybody in an uproar. Hip drop tackle. It is now outlawed in sports. I hate it. What's the hip drop tackle? If you grab a defender by his hips and then you drop towards his lower body. Here's my issue. Yeah. I hate these injuries. I hate them.
Okay, cool.
But let me level with y'all. I'm gonna level with my dogs here. I'm the defender at the desk. It's a collision sport. You can't take the collision out of a collision sport. Shady, if I am trying to tackle you from behind, I can't grab you by your collar. That's a horse collar.
That's a penalty.
I can't suplex body slam you. That's roughness.
That's a penalty.
And I can no longer grab you by your waist and drop. That's a hip drop. So how am I, as a defender, supposed to tackle a running back who's already elusive if he has a step on me? I can't horse collar him. I can't grab him by the waist. I can't suplex him. Shady, I'm rendered useless as a defender. So I hate the rule because it is taking defenders' ability to tackle running backs like LeSean McCoy out the game.
Tag the ball. Thank you. Now, back in the old days, it was all about defense, right?
Yep. Right. All the tough tackles, you know, it's not the great sacks.
But no rules.
Ain't no rules. Now it's about the money and it's about the offense.
Okay.
We keep talking about defense. Who cares about the defense? What's the NFL trying to do?
It's
score points.
4 points.
They're trying to build this brand, right, to go all these different countries.
Yep.
You see what they're doing, right? We want to make the game bigger. They make more money. How you going to make more money if it's all about the defense? I almost fell. It's not about the defense. It's about the offense. The more points you score, the more exciting it is.
Sure.
I don't care if a linebacker with number 58 is trying to tackle my all-pro wide receiver, my all-pro running back. They want to see Patrick Mahomes scramble out, throw bombs deep. That's what the game is about. But so when you hold on, and then you talk about collision, they're going to be getting tackled. That's not the way you like to get tackled. And I'm all about the safety of the
players. Couple things here. Can I see the ball? Give me the ball. Give me the ball. Couple things here. Number one, it's terrible. Because
taking it out.
Taking it out.
Okay.
Because number one, you're showing the defensive players, figure out a way to protect yourself. We could care less about y'all.
Exactly.
It's all about protecting the offensive players, which is terrible because these dudes get paid too.
True.
You know what else is going to suck? We putting more stuff in the referee's hands.
Yeah.
So it's going to be calls like this to where it's going to be a tackle, and it might not even be a hip drop tackle, and the ref's going to throw a penalty. We're putting more stuff in their hands. This is going to be a tough call. And not only that, if you have, we just talked about with Coach Stoops about Adrian Peterson. If he running away from you, how are you supposed to tackle this man? It's a disadvantage for the defensive players. Like, you're not always going to be coming downhill and Shady right in front of you. And if Shady is right in front of you, he's going to give you that crazy work. And eventually, you're going to be on the side. How am I supposed to bring these dudes down? Like, that's how you can. And then what am I going to be from behind, pause, and continue to keep running? And I can't drop my weight? This is a terrible rule, and it's protecting the offensive players, but we just completely forgot about the defenders.
Well, I mean, as the people see all these ugly injuries, they're happening, right? Mm-hmm. But I'll say this. One thing about being a great athlete, which the NFL has a lot of them, the defense always finds a way to adjust. The whole thing about even the roughing the passer, the way you tackle the quarterback and all
defense.
That. It was an issue for a year or two. And what happened? Defense figured it out.
But it's still an issue because the referees.
But it's getting better. Listen, if you're trying to protect the players, I respect that.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. A lot of guys have got injuries because of the way that they're
using the side of the player.
Here's my thought, 2-5, though. I don't think in life often, at least, there are solutions. You just transfer one problem to another. Truth be told, we were taught to tackle on defense my last couple years in Philly. We called it the Hawk tackle. Seahawks made it famous.
Yeah.
You keep your head out of it. You stay on one side. You grab a dude by the waist, and you alligator roll him.
Yep.
You grab him by his knees. You alligator roll him because they wanted to prevent concussions. Mm-hmm. So now if you're saying, okay, the metric that defenders were using to prevent concussions, stop doing that to a degree and go back to trying to figure it out another way. There aren't solutions. You just transfer one problem to another 2-5. That's my issue.
And so you guys are just speaking with no experience.
What you mean? How?
I'll tell you.
I've been running with the ball.
Bang. Hold up. Bang. I don't know if you can see that. You see that ankle injury right there?
That scar.
I got my ankle broken, right? I was a 5-star All-American recruit.
Okay.
78 scholarships. Only one school didn't offer me.
Uh-oh.
Texas. Mm. Right? Everybody wanted me. Reggie Bush was my host at USC. This is Reggie Bush. It was Reggie Bush. And a young man, I don't even know the dude's name anymore. No he what's it called? A hog tackle?
Hog tackle.
He all tackled with an alligator roll. All that.
He gonna get you.
Bang! And guess what? I broke my ankle. Went from 78 scholarships to, you know what? Free. I had to go to Pittsburgh. Nobody else wanted me. So when you guys are speaking about this thing, what about the safety? What about the dude's careers?
I understand what you
do. Do you?
But
is you walking good?
The careers of the other ones, too, though, Shady. Good. It's already hard enough to play defense. You're doing everything going backwards.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to take this out. How's the defense getting
hurt,
Derrick Henry's running away from somebody.
Hold on. How's the defense getting injured by
because these? Now everything is going to be slower for them. They already got to think about where you hitting certain people.
Coach said team meeting in five, y'all.
Team
meeting in five.
They not able to play fast enough.
Speaking of it being difficult to play defense, Caitlin Clark is nearly impossible to defend. But get this. She was offered $5 million to play in the Big 3 League. You know I'm blocking this shot. You know I'm blocking this shot. Hey, that's next on Speed. Rim down.
5 M's? She's nice, though. They're going to hate on.
Hey, get this story, family. Allegedly, Ice Cube of the Big 3 League offered Caitlin Clark $5 million to join the league. Ice Cube was trying to keep it on the low until the March Madness was over, but it's already been leaked. Shady, obviously, you the hoop head.
Love
it. What you make of it?
I love it so much. I love Caitlin.
Curry Clark. She not nice. And she deserves that $5 million. Now go get that money though. Ten games? Go get that money. Go get that money. Don't play with them. Ice Cube's a smart man. You know what he's doing.
Stay out there on the perimeter too and shoot them 4-pointers because you got a big three. Shoot you some 4-pointers, make you $5 million, go to the WNBA, make more.
It was a brilliant business move. I don't think she'll do it.
Why not?
I think it might cause too much controversy between others who didn't get the opportunity. You know how
I do. Yeah, she's better than them. That's what I'm
like. See y'all tomorrow.